Welcome to Health on the Hill. I'm Mary Agnes Carey. Amid the partisan battles over the 2010 health care law, known as Obamacare, lawmakers may be close to bipartisan consensus on another health care issue, overhauling how Medicare pays physicians. Three Capitol Hill committees are discussing how to replace the sustainable growth rate, known as the SGR. For years, Congress has passed last-minute patches to the formula to prevent Medicare physician payment cuts. And while there isn't a unified approach or agreement on how to finance a fix, many analysts say Congress appears closer than ever to replacing the SGR. With us to discuss the latest developments is Emily Etheridge, a healthcare reporter for CQ Roll Call. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Mary Agnes.
It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. Give us a little bit of background on the Medicare SGR. When was it created? What was its purpose? And why are people talking about repealing it?
So this was part of the 1997 Balanced Budget Act, if you go all the way back to then. And we really thought this was a formula that would keep the payment rates for Medicare physicians more in line with the overall growth of the economy. And for a few years, it worked out pretty well. For the first 5 years, it seemed okay. It basically puts a limit on how much the physician payments can grow. Around 2002, things started to get bad. It started calling for cuts. Every year since 2002, it has called for more and more cuts, drastic. Now I think it's about 25% cuts to Medicare physicians if we let this formula take place. However, Congress hasn't let it actually take place in the past 10 years. They keep doing these short-term patches, which is what everyone knows as the doc fix, and that makes it actually more expensive every time. They don't let the cuts happen. They give physicians instead just a tiny little raise. And that means that every year the formula calls for deeper and deeper cuts.
So as we know, before the August break, the House Energy and Commerce Committee passed a bill to repeal and replace the SGR. How would that measure work and how do they pay for it?
We don't know how they'll pay for it. And that is the biggest sticking point right now. That is going to be the thing that really makes or breaks whether this bill happens, because it's a pretty big price tag. Only repealing the SGR, just taking away the SGR for 10 years, is about $140 billion. That's doing that without anything else that you might want to do, any other kind of payment models, any other Medicare reforms you might want to try to make. So we're looking at a pretty big price tag on this bill. And right now we have no idea how they make up for that cost. But the Energy and Commerce bill, it would get rid of the SGR, which is a huge goal for everybody. Then we'd have a little transition period of 5 years where they would just set small payment updates for all Medicare physicians. Then after that, physicians would be able to move into these alternative payment models. The idea here is to get away from the fee-for-service Medicare that most stakeholders and healthcare economists really hate.
That's traditional Medicare.
That's traditional, right? Medicare. Yes. That's what we have now. Mm-hmm. Fee-for-service. You perform a service, Medicare pays the doctor. Right. People say it encourages volume of services over really good quality care. So they would try to put in these new models under the Energy and Commerce bill to get away from that and start rewarding quality of care, or, you know, having better outcomes while saving money for Medicare overall.
And also, there are other committees in the House. We have the Ways and Means Committee working on the issue. In the Senate, it's the Finance Committee. Do we know enough now how to tell how those approaches might be different from each other and from what Energy and Commerce has done?
Everyone says that Energy and Commerce has a pretty good base of a bill, and they like it. However, those other committees don't like it enough to say that we're just going to take that up, maybe make a few tweaks here and there, and send it along on its way, which would be the fastest option. They seem to each have more bigger changes in mind. Everyone really wants to put their own stamp on this bill. So I feel like we're going to get similar looking bills, but not the exact same bill from all three committees.
Now, as we both know, you and I have reported on this for years. The SGR has been with us for a long time. What's the reason for all this momentum right now? And is Congress really going to act in this Congress to make a change?
As you said, this is really the closest we've ever gotten to having the SGR go away. It's the Energy and Commerce marking up a bill and approving it unanimously, 51-0, so it's bipartisan support to get rid of this, is farther than we've ever come in the history of the SGR. The reason that really put the momentum behind this is, yes, Congress has been working on this a long time, but earlier this year, we got a very favorable score from the CBO, that $140 billion I mentioned earlier. That's the lowest score, the lowest price tag for getting rid of the SGR than we've ever seen, really, in the past, I'd say, 5 years. So everyone said, basically, it's a fire sale on the SGR. Let's go for it and strike while the iron's hot and get rid of this before CBO changes its mind.
And while it's only $140 billion in Washington language, it still is $140 billion. So what are the likely ways for financing? What are the options?
Traditionally, when they do these small patches, they take money out of Medicare somewhere else. they find other ways to cut provider payments elsewhere, maybe cut specialty doctors instead of physicians.
Or a hospital.
Or hospitals. Right. They look to Medicare to try to move money from one pile to another. That could definitely happen here, although, again, $140 billion plus more, most likely, is a big ask. Republicans would love to cut that money from the healthcare law, from the overhaul. I don't really think Democrats will be on board with that, but maybe if they could get some of it from the healthcare law, that might be a thing, part of a bigger compromise that could happen. There's also, you know, a lot of talk about tax reform, tax code overhaul in some of these committees right now in Ways and Means and Finance. So it's possible they could find some things in the tax code that produce savings, and they might just tack that on to pay for it instead.
Well, speaking of the health care law, we know the House Republicans have voted several times to defund all or part of that measure. Are we going to see more of those votes this fall?
I definitely expect to see more votes in the House on repealing or trying to defund the health care law. Right now, you have a big group of Republicans who want to defund the law as this, you know, to stop it altogether and are willing to, you know, put some things at risk to get that to happen. We don't have House leadership on board with that yet, and we really haven't reached a critical mass of those Republicans who want to defund the law yet. It's about a third of the House Republican caucus. So it remains to be seen whether we actually will see that vote this month or possibly next month. But it's something they're really working on. And I think if they don't get that defund vote, they'll get some other repeal votes or delay votes just to keep everybody satisfied.
And I think you're talking here in the sense of defunding as part of the continuing resolution to fund the government, correct?
Right, exactly.
So if that one doesn't occur, you may see some more of these rifle shots to defund pieces of the ACA.
And especially when we have a debt ceiling fight again in October, this could certainly come up again as part of that.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Emily Etheridge of CQ Roll Call.
You're welcome. Thank you.